This is the second interview with Mr. Ron Doherty at his home in Acton, Maine, Monday, August 28th, year 2000, for the CCC project. This is Anu Dudley.
All right. When we left off last time, we were just about ready to talk about recreation at the camp.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what you remember. Particularly, how did you spend your leisure time? What was your particular focus?
Well, I used to go in the educational building and do, carpenter work. I was learning how to make, I was making a desk down there, and I used to work down there a lot for the camp newspaper. And we used to go swimming over to Echo Lake, like I just mentioned there. That was over in Southwest Harbor. And there was another little lake we used to go to down on the other side of the island. They used to take us there in the trucks, and
do you remember the name of that?
No, I don't. I don't, and I've been racking my brains trying to figure what it was. It was a nice little place to go swimming.
You think if you looked at the map, you'd be able to remember?
I might.
Okay. We'll pull out this map of the Acadia National Park and vicinity.
Yeah.
And
well, see, Echo Lake was over in there, Southwest Harbor, but this lake was more or less.
Now you're looking north of Eagle Lake, it looks like.
I'm looking like northeast, like.
Northeast of Eagle Lake.
Yeah,
okay.
So I remember when the trucks we used to go like from, where's the camp now? Right here.
Yeah, right below.
We used to go over here to Echo Lake, rather. And we used to go down here somewhere.
You're showing.
Probably one of these little ponds in here.
Showing northeast of Echo Lake.
Yeah.
One of the ponds. And the names of those ponds are, let's see, what have we got here? Breakneck Ponds, Hoffman Pond, Half Moon.
Half Moon Pond. It's over in this area here somewhere.
Okay. Oh, there's a, what is this, Farm Pond? No. What is that? Fawn Pond.
Fawn.
Yeah.
Fawn.
So it's one of these, either the Breakneck Ponds, the Half Moon Pond, or Witch Hole Pond.
Let me look at this while I'm talking to you.
Maybe okay. All right. So you used to go swimming, as well as working on the newspaper and the shop.
Yeah. I never played baseball or basketball because me working inside, well, the guys that got together that worked out in the field would, talk it over upon their own team. Mm-hmm. So I never did get on that. I always liked to play baseball, played basketball in school.
Now you're looking at the map and you're looking around Eagle Lake, not just north of it.
This sounds a lot like it. Lakewood.
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 Yeah, but we used to call it Lakewood, and they call it Lakewood, two different words.
Okay.
Well,
so that's where
it.
You went.
Lakewood.
Okay.
That's what it was, yeah.
Right.
Nice little pond.
Uh-huh. Was there a like a town beach there? Was it developed
in any way?
It was
a small pond. Probably most likely it was Fawn Pond, because I see a little. No, I don't either. There's a little lake right in here. Look at here. That was it. That was a nice place. Nice sandy beach and everything. I don't even know where they use it today.
What, now, was there a lifeguard? Were there picnic tables there?
No, not that I remember.
It wasn't developed, in other words?
Well, the townspeople used to go there
okay.
to swim. I remember that. It wasn't, we weren't the only ones there. There was a nice little beach. I don't remember a picnic area.
Was there a lifeguard?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And how often did you go there during the summer?
Oh, maybe once a week, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd, swap off. This Echo Lake, boy, that's cold and deep.
Yes.
You freeze to death there.
So when you went swimming, did you make it a day, or did you just go over for an hour or so? What was that like?
Well, we'd go over there in the evening after work.
Mm.
And I don't remember. I think it was always after work. I don't remember. Of course, when Saturday and Sunday come, everybody, fellas that had to leave, would go home. Or there would be a ball game or something like that going on. We used to have boxing teams that used to go down to Bar Harbor, and they would box there, down off the main street there. It used to be like an old moving picture hall or theater or something.
So men from your camp,
yeah,
then would go down for boxing matches?
Yeah, we'd box against the Southwest Harbor. And then I remember one time the Boston Record, Boston Herald American, or the Boston Record, they promoted boxing all over New England. And they would go down there and they'd take the fellas from that were the winners, and they would go to Boston. And not like the Olympics or the like that. It was just the paper itself ran the thing. Because I know we had one boxer there. He went to Boston. He came from up around Woodland, Maine.
Do you remember his name?
Oh yeah, his name was Lawler. His brother was in our camp too. There was two brothers there. One was Johnny Lawler, and the other one was Frank. Matter of fact, I was inquiring about him when we went to Calais last two or three weeks ago. And I think one of them is still living up around Barron, Maine.
Barron?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know which one, Frank or John?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, one was a wrestler and one was a boxer. I forget who was which. Which one was which?
Okay. So one of the things you did for recreation was to go into Bar Harbor and watch the boxing matches.
Yeah, you could say that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'd go to the movies there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go down for the boxing matches, and then they had a baseball game at the camp. We had a little baseball diamond there. And in the wintertime they used to load, I think I mentioned it before, it'd be nothing but cordwood there. And they had a pool table, and they had ping pong tables. We all did that. One thing I forgot to tell you, we had a Radio Shack there. We had a guy there that from the Navy, retired from the Navy. He used to teach the fellas, semaphore.
Oh.
And
Morse code.
Morse code.
Yeah.
And they had little ham radio station there. That came late while I was there, so.
Mm-hmm.
They were always bringing something. Matter of fact, I've got a letter in there from one of my old educational advisors. I think I told you I saw him in church one day.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was, I called him up one time, and he was, at that time he was, this is a while back, he was 84 years old. And I said, "How you doing?" "Great," he says. He was 85. Boy, he what an outlook he had on life. "Great," he says.
Okay, so in terms of sports then, you were talking about baseball and boxing.
They had a basketball team too.
At your camp?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you played?
Most of the camps did. They used to play with Southwest Harbor. And I remember one time we went over to a little town they call Aurora on Route 9,
mm-hmm,
to play baseball over there.
Mm-hmm.
The baseball field wasn't flat, it was like on the side of a hill like.
Now, did you have an actual baseball diamond at your camp?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was dirt, you know, with nothing fancy, but
yeah,
you could play ball.
And what about basketball? Did you have a basketball court? What was that like?
They used to go downtown, and I think it was in the high school in Bar Harbor, and play down there in the winter.
Okay, but so you didn't have an actual court right at the camp?
No, no.
Okay.
So they just go down there for practice and they play.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a camp in Ellsworth too, but not while I was there. They used to call it the Governor Brand was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even today you'll find fellas that have been in that camp.
Yeah.
In Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Those are the nearest camps.
Did you tell me about these teams. You played the other camp, the one in Southwest Harbor.
Yeah.
Did you play any non-CCC teams?
Yeah, town teams.
You played town teams?
Yeah.
So you played a Bar Harbor team,
yeah,
or a Southwest Harbor,
yeah,
team?
Yeah.
Anything else?
You know, maybe some little town like Trenton or Franklin would have a little basketball team. Mm-hmm. Somehow they'd get up a game with them and they'd play.
Mm-hmm. And who organized these games?
Well, I think it was the educational advisor that took care of all that.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Who did you consider to be your team's major competitor then?
I would say the town team and Bob.
Yeah? They were good?
Well, I don't know. You just make up. They weren't, real good, but they were good enough to enjoy themselves.
Uh-huh.
They had fun.
Did that have anything to do with, like, town and camp rivalry?
Well, I think they used to like to beat the town team, Bahaba. Also, I mean, if I remember right, the 158, they had a pretty good team over there, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
you know something? You're bringing things to my back to my mind now. There's a fella that we went up, my niece and her son and daughter and her grandson came here last weekend and we went up the fair up here. Well, we were sitting there having a sandwich and this fella walks by and he points and he come over and he's got the CCC cap on. And he belongs to our chapter.
Uh-huh.
He's the historian, and I used to be the historian, so he became historian, and then I took the vice president's job. He came over. I was surprised to see him. I didn't even think he owned an automobile, because one time we were going to Bangor for a CC meeting there, and he took the bus up. So I said, how'd you get up here? So I got my car. So anyway, I'm getting off the subject. He has got one of the original jerseys of the basketball team in Bar Harbor Camp.
Wow. Would he be willing to have that photographed?
I can ask him.
That would be a real treasure.
He was in the Camden camp as a dispensary, what do they call him? What was the title they call him, guys? Just dispensary attendant, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So when they closed Camden camp, he came to Bar Harbor. But he was there after me.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid that he took his place of was my best friend. We graduated from high school together in college, Ronald O'Neill. And so he took Ronald's place. And apparently he played on the basketball team in Bar Harbor, in our camp.
And he saved that shirt all these years.
Yeah, he got it. He brought it in, and I think he even put a piece in the National somewhere on it.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
What were the colors?
It seemed to me it was like orange letters and on a dark background.
Huh.
Now, isn't that funny? Because I went to I went down to Mystic, Connecticut to the National Convention, and now our caps have green with the regular signet on it, and their fellows from out the Midwest and the Ohio around them places, their caps were green with orange on them. Now, whether the orange had anything to do with the color of the that he has on his uniform, I don't know. You're bringing back old memories there.
Well, that's what this is all about. We want to hear all of them. I may have to come back again. We're dredging up all these memories.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well, let's just move on to the next section here, which is has to do with crafts and hobbies. You said that you were very involved with woodworking.
Yeah.
And you built a desk.
Yeah.
And was there any other thing that you built?
No, because that was quite a project. It took most of my time. I didn't want there every night, you know.
Uh-huh.
I go down maybe once every couple of weeks or something like that.
Why don't you describe the desk? How big was it? What were the features on it?
Well, I know it made out of gumwood. And it was a...
And where did the gumwood come from?
Well, apparently they had it there.
Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead.
I might have had to pay for part of it. I don't know. But anyway, it had... let's say it's about 3.5 feet by about... 20 inches deep, and it had a drawer, a door that flopped down that became with a brace on it, and just plop it down, like the old antique ones, and put a board, swivel board, and it would hold it from going below.
Okay. So then that made the desk surface bigger then?
Yeah. 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 And then it had pigeonholes in it, and the top was about that narrow, and it tapered down like this, and the back was straight, like this. And it came down, the legs came down, and I remember each side, they had a brace across the back leg, of course you couldn't put it in the front, and then the side of the legs had a support across each, a rail rather, and they had these slats in it. I remember that.
Slats underneath the desk surface.
Well, I could probably draw you a little diagram of it.
Okay. And then we'll describe it on tape. Well, here, you want to draw on, I've got some paper here.
Have you? I can probably draw a pretty good replica of it.
Okay. There you go.
Now, I'll give you a side view here.
Okay, so the...
And the legs come down here.
Yeah.
And it has through here, and then it had these slats here.
They were visible from the side.
Yeah.
All right.
And then the front was like this.
Okay.
I think it come down like this, something like that. And it opened up this way. And it had a slat in here. You'd flip it out like this, and that when you brought this down, that would support
this one. Okay. Going
that.
All right. Okay, so.
That took quite a bit of time to do that.
So describing this.
The reason probably I only went there is because the instructor didn't come every night. He was a civilian.
Uh-huh.
And he came there. I think he lived all around Trenton or Hancock, one of those places. I remember his name. His name was Stratton. And then we had another farm named Ellis that came over around the same area. He taught leathercraft.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the education about it, he taught typing, and they didn't teach shorthand, but I took that. When I got to high school, I went over to St. Stephen's and went to business school over there for a year. And we took 9 subjects in 1 year.
So let me see. We've got a place here for educational stuff. So let's get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to describe this so that people can know what it looks like. So the desk itself was about 3 feet wide, and you said about how deep?
Well, I would say it's about
2 feet deep.
20 inches deep.
20 inches
when
deep.
You put the lid down,
okay.
It would give you another 20 inches.
Okay.
And it was quite a bit of depth to it.
Right. And so the lid then is an angled front to it, and then you open that up and pull that forward, and then pull out a little slat underneath to give you the additional.
Yeah, it's a little straight board like this.
Yes.
It would be in like this, and it probably. It was on a pivot like, and it come out mm-hmm. like this, and this thing would come down.
So the board would be parallel to the front, and then you would pull it out to be perpendicular to the front, and
yeah.
then pull the top down
yeah.
on top of it.
Because you see a lot of antique furniture like old
yes.
desks.
I like have a it. Desk like that.
Yeah.
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 And
that's exactly right.
So and so then and inside the desk, then you said there were a lot of pigeonholes.
Pigeonholes. Yeah.
And drawers.
I don't remember a drawer.
Okay. And then underneath you had slats which were accessible from the side.
Yeah.
For stacking things, and
yeah.
but it doesn't look, there weren't any drawers underneath, though.
No.
No,
no.
Okay.
Mostly all leg room.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had it home in our house in where we lived down around Callis, and I remember that. I don't, to this day, I don't know what became. Probably around Callis somewhere. All gumwood. It was nice gumwood. It was
mm-hmm.
good wood, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Years ago, they used to panel the rooms with gumwood.
Did you follow a pattern for this desk, or did you think this up out of your head?
No, I think the instructor, he instructed me what, he probably had a sketch of it or something.
And were there other people building desks?
No, I was the only one built. They built other little things. They're not, major things, but.
Like what?
Oh, little end tables and stuff like that. Things to hook your shoes on, pull your boots off.
Oh, uh-huh. Boot jack.
Boot jacks.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So yours seemed, as you remember, was probably the most elaborate.
Yeah, I think it was, really. I don't think anybody, while I was there, took it on.
Uh-huh. So then when you were done with your tour at the CCC camp, you packed it up and took it home with you.
Well, I didn't really. I might have had it shipped to me somehow. Because when I left, I just left like with a barracks bag and my clothes. I might have had somebody from Calais pick it up and bring it down for me later. Because I remember Ron O'Neill used to take us home like on a weekend. And he had one of them station wagons, old wooden-sized station wagon. He might have picked it up and brought it down for me.
Okay. So the woodworking that you were able to do,
I think that's why I got it, because I had to contribute some money towards it.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the wood.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to take it.
Yeah. Did you have? Was there an actual shop that was all set up for woodworking?
Yes, there was. Yeah. One end of it was the where they taught. Office, you know, how do you do? They had a mimeograph there. Remember the old barrel mimeograph?
I do,
well,
yes.
I used to type all those and run them on it for the camp paper, and I used to do the typing. And of course, the educational advisor, he was there, and he had a group. They were teaching guys how to read and write and everything. A lot of guys came in that couldn't read and write.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we have some questions about that in a little while.
Yeah.
Now, the building where you did the woodworking, was this the rec hall, or was this a separate building?
No, it was a separate building. They call it an educational building.
Oh, okay.
It had its own building. They had a carpenter shop there, you know, for trainees, and they had a place there for people that wanted, like a little, there was a library there, too, if I remember right.
Hmm.
They wanted to go down there and read, and they made up the camp paper there and one section of it.
Okay.
And the education advisor, I'm pretty sure he had his office in there, too.
All right.
I got something here that he wrote up, but I think I told you one time about they were thinking of sending CC boys to college.
Yes.
Did I mention that?
Well, someone did. That's
somewhere in here I got that paper that he wrote up on about my background, where I came from,
yes.
And everything.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You did tell me about that.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what sort of music or theater opportunities there were at the camp.
Well, there was no music. Nobody played music there. Except the bugler. They had a radio in the recreation hall. Some guys had radios. After a while, they let us have. I had a radio down when down the supply room, and I think some of the guys had radios, but they. I don't think they were allowed to have. Oh, yeah, there used to be guys in the. There was one fellow there that used to play the guitar and sing cowboy music.
Really?
Yeah, and the guy, he said such a lousy voice,
oh.
Everybody used to give him the devil. He used to sing that song, I Am the Lone Pine. That Mackenzie guy used to sing over Boston. Over the Bangor Inn. I am the Lone Pine Mountaineer. Come out and listen to me while I sing and play for you. I am the Lone Pine Mountaineer. Ah, dear.
But he wasn't any good.
Well, not that guy, but that I think the guy that sang over the radio name was Mackenzie, Ken Mackenzie, I think.
Uh-huh. So you didn't have like a theater group? You didn't put on plays at your camp?
No.
Okay.
All the camps were different. I mean,
that's the impression that I'm getting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some camps would probably have plays. They probably had. I was looking in the paper the other day. The last month's paper. One camp had a group that played while they were having the meals.
No kidding.
What the devil happened there? This is it right here. I just got it the other day.
Was that a camp in Maine?
No, this is, I forget where it is, but just to show you that where the devil are they? The different activities they had. Here's a picture of a guy here being interviewed for a role in a movie. Where the devil is that group that is right there. I went right by it. Right there.
All right. Okay, it's a picture of a a band of young men who've got guitars and it looks like a trumpet. And this is at Camp Wickiup, which is where?
Oh, it's probably out in the Midwest somewhere.
Okay, yep.
But you see this section here, this Happy Days, that was a newspaper that we got all, covered all the camps all over the United States.
So different Happy Days was the name
different little articles
of
there,
the
they
newspaper.
Send them in, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. And that was a, this is a national newspaper.
This is a
Happy
national
Days
paper,
was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But was Happy Days a national newspaper?
Well, that was, yeah, that was the title of the newspaper for all the camps
yes, okay.
all over the United States.
Got it.
Matter of fact, I got one of the copies in here, original copy somewhere.
Well, we'd like to take a picture of that eventually.
Let's see if I got it here.
Oh, while you're looking for it, it looks like that there's the, is that
there
the?
There it is, yeah, Thanksgiving.
And Thanksgiving was the name of the
no, that's
paper.
Well, what came out for the Thanksgiving.
Okay. Oh, so, all
celebration.
Right. So I am holding in my hands an actual copy of the 1938, November 19th, 1938 edition of Happy Days for the CCC, by the CCC.
Yeah.
And, well, this is it's a thick newspaper, too.
Yeah.
And did people from all of the camps then submit
there
articles?
Might, there are articles in there from probably different camps all over the country.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, let's take a look at this in detail at some point.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the top of your scrapbook here, this crest, this patch here.
That's the insignia,
okay.
CCC insignia.
So it's something, it's about 2 inches in diameter. It's got a gold background, and it has a sort of, a forest scene on the edge of a lake with some pines on each side, and then a lake represented in the middle, and then three large seas connected to each other in a sort of semicircle at the top of the crest. Mm. And and that's all in green. It's very
handsome. Those are the colors, green and...
Green and gold.
Gold, yeah.
Yeah. And now, were those just the colors of your camp, or was that the national color?
That was for the whole United States.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So everybody that was in the CCC had a patch like that.
Yeah, they wore it on the shoulder, yeah.
Now, when you said that there was a cap that had an orange patch, how was
well,
that?
Well, that was at the Mystic, the National Convention in Mystic, Connecticut last year. Fellas came from all the rest of the parts, rest of the states. Mm-hmm. They congregate there and had a convention.
So was that a newer patch?
I don't know. I was surprised to see that. I thought that was the color. That was our color, and I thought that was statewide,
mm-hmm.
stateside, well, statewide,
mm.
all the states.
That'll be something to ask. Now I'd like to get into the educational part of it. You said that you were talking about the camp having a library.
Yeah.
And could you tell me where the books came from and what kinds of books there were?
Well, I imagine that a lot of them came from, we were in the first Corps area, just like the Army, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd Corps area all through the United States. The states were all divided up in corps. And the headquarters in Fort Devens, Massachusetts. So I imagine a lot of all our supplies and material came through Fort Devens. And it would come to over to Fort Williams here in Portland, and then it would be distributed otherwise. And I imagine most of it was requested by the education advisor.
I see. So he would request the titles and then get
yes.
them through Fort
yeah.
Devens.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what sort of books did you have?
Oh, gee, that's so long ago. Well, there was probably a lot there on sports, and I don't think there was any love stories there, but whatever the books were popular in those days, that's so long ago, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. So you don't remember a favorite book that you had that you read at camp?
No, I don't.
Okay. And were there magazines?
Yeah, they had magazines there.
Okay. And so the library had books and magazines in it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the library was in the educational building?
Yeah.
And was it like a separate room? Or was it just a corner with some bookshelves?
Well, I think it was, but at the same time, if I faintly remember, that's where the mimeograph machine was in there, and there was a typewriter there.
Was the educational building, I understand that the buildings were all the same size. Is they all same size
and
shape?
Yes, they were. Uh-huh. You can take a look at the pictures and you can see. I don't remember the exact dimensions, but if the guy was a carpenter, he could probably tell you.
So the building, as you remember it, the educational building was just a rectangular building?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we're looking at the picture of the camp again.
See, here's the road that comes inside in, goes around this way. And this.
Okay, we're looking at a picture of the camp in front of, what's the name of this mountain again?
This is Cadillac Mountain.
That's Cadillac Mountain,
and that's Eagle
Lake. To the left.
And that's Eagle Lake below.
Okay, Eagle Lake stretches from side to side of the picture. Cadillac Mountain is off to the left, and the mountain that's off to the right is? Is it the McFadden or whatever it was on the map?
McFarland Mountain.
McFarland Mountain.
And
it we don't see it.
It wasn't a mountain that high either. Just a
okay, so we'll have to check on the map to see what the other mountain is that's next to Cadillac.
Maybe
is that Bubble?
Echo. Is there such a.
Oh, Eagle
maybe
Mountain?
Maybe after. This is Eagle Lake. It might be Eagle Mountain or something.
Okay,
like that.
Okay. We'll have to look on the map then.
But see, here's.
And the camp is right here in front of the lake.
Yeah, you come down this road. This is the main highway that goes across. It's not a highway, it was a road at the
okay,
time.
Okay, the main road goes across the bottom.
Right there is the forestry office and the army office. In back of that was the rec hall. See that long building there?
Okay, we're looking at a series of long buildings that are on the main road.
This is where the ball field used to be.
And the ball
field. See the wood down here?
Oh, wait a minute, hold on here now. This black thing here, this
that's
is
forest.
This is forest. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
So the ball field is between the buildings and the forest.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And as you go down around here, this goes down in a complete circle and comes back out this road here.
And this road that he's talking about circles a big complex of what long rectangular buildings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this first building is a mess hall. Then there's four barracks.
Okay, the building closest to the road is the mess hall.
Yeah, and then along that is like barracks 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, and these are all lined up parallel behind the mess hall.
And then the last building is next to the last building is the dispensary, and then the next building after that is the officers' quarters.
Okay, now the road.
Now that building right there is the education building, right there, where my finger is.
Okay, now the road actually circles down behind the dispensatory.
Goes around here and comes between those two buildings.
It comes between the educational building and the dispensatory.
Yeah. Now down back here is the forestry department has a place they kept all the tools.
Okay, and that's in back of the education building.
Tool house, I guess.
And where was the officers' building again?
It was the very last building here.
Oh, it's before the road then.
Well, the road goes around between that and the education building.
Okay, so the last building isn't the dispensary then. It's the officers' quarters. Where's the dispensary?
I don't know. It's either that's either the dispensary or the officers' building,
okay.
Or the officers' building is in between that.
Okay,
and
okay. But then on the other side of the road is the education building.
Over here is the supply room.
Okay, to the right of all of those buildings is the supply room.
Then down in back here is a latrine.
And way in the woods is the latrine. That was a long hike in the middle of the night, wasn't it?
Yeah, from here to here.
Yeah.
You had to have good kidneys. But anyway, down through here was the carriage roads.
Okay, now you're looking at the woods that are between the camp and the lake.
There
are all the carriage roads in there.
Just a sharp jaunt between down to get on the carriage. That's one thing. We used to go snowshoeing there. I forgot all about it.
Ah, we used on to the carriage roads.
Yeah, snowshoeing. We had skis in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
And the guys used to ski up here on McFarland Mountain. As you can see, there was a pretty, and they had an old tow rope here. They used to pull themselves up. They used to get
Wait,
up
did the
here.
Tow rope run on a machine like it?
Just an old wheel with an old motor on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the first
right.
ones they ever made.
Yeah.
Not only that, but an interesting thing too, that this McFarland, that there's a farm, people living there. And sometimes some of the boys used to take the laundry over there, and she'd do the laundry for them for 15, 20 cents or whatever. Yeah.
Huh.
Boy, you're really digging in my mind here, aren't you?
Okay. Well, pictures really help. Okay. So we talked about books and magazines.
Now, that's another part of the recreation there, snowshoeing. Yeah. I used to go down there snow, and we used to go down there jogging too.
Really?
A good one. Beautiful,
jogging,
nice.
Ben.
Rockefeller's carriage route.
Yeah. Now, where did you get your snowshoes?
The Army had them.
Okay. Old so
Army.
You borrowed them.
Army issue, yeah.
And that was the same with skis?
Skis too, yeah.
Describe the skis.
Oh, they're big, long old thing. You stick your toe in them, and your feet would go like no straps or anything.
Uh-huh.
Just more or less your toe.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys would take a piece of rawhide and tie it onto the strap and around the back of the heel so that, you know, when you lift your heel
right.
up, that you could kind of pick the ski up and
yeah.
turn it, whatever.
And what did you use for poles? Did you use poles?
We never used poles, no.
Okay.
We spent most of the time on our rear end.
Well, but then that's not what you used for downhill skiing. Was it? You used to use
well,
those?
Most of the guys that came from Rooster County, they were pretty good skiers. And I never went over McPound Mountain. I used to go along the carriage road
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't that good. But those kids could really ski. They'd go up that mountain, they'd come down that thing with just the toes and those skis like nothing.
And no poles.
Well, I don't remember them having poles. I don't even remember seeing a pole around there.
Oh. Wow, good for them.
Yeah. They might have had poles, but I don't recollect.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I used to, me and Arthur Hale and I, we used to go snowshoeing down there, and in the good weather, we'd go down jogging.
Huh.
I told that to the fellow that I had a contact to put the plaque there in Bar Harbor. What the devil was his name? He's still there, I think. And he says the carriage roads are still there. They keep them up.
Getting back to the educational area, you said that you were aware that there were people that learned to read and write at camp.
Yeah.
How many people, when you were there, do you think learned to read and write?
Oh, I don't know.
Was it a lot? Out of
about 200 guys. When I got there, a lot of the guys that were in there when I was in there had already graduated from high school. But before me, there was guys that couldn't read and write. And they used to teach them how to read or write there. But there wasn't too many, maybe
mm-hmm.
a dozen, a half a dozen, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were, you know, of course, they were kind of, what's the word, shy. They didn't want people to know they couldn't read
sure.
and write. A lot of them used to fake it, you know. And when they were studying to learn to read and write, they didn't talk about it too much
mm.
because they was kind of personal with them. It was
mm-hmm.
a personal thing with them.
And who was it? The educational director that taught the reading?
Yes.
Writing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was in charge of writing and editing the camp newspaper?
He was.
He was.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had reporters, and each barracks had a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
If something newsworthy, they would write it up, and he'd help them form it up. And then once it was all set, I'd type it up and put it on the old machine, mimeograph machine, and crank it out.
Uh-huh.
I got one here. I got a paper here. Pretty sure I had. I call my wife a rat pack, but I don't know if anybody's any worse than I am. But there it is right there.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a real mimeographed newsletter.
Is my name in there somewhere?
Yes, well, there you go. Features, Ronald Doherty.
Yes.
Under staff.
There you are. That's the camp paper.
Yeah. Now, and you said that came out weekly?
Let's see.
Or monthly.
The Acadian, volume so-and-so.
It looks like it's just the month, November 38.
Yeah, monthly, yeah.
Okay.
154th Company.
Yeah. So, and you, looks like you're credited with that drawing on the front.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
But so you're an artist.
I don't remember doing that, though.
Sketch of some leafless trees in November.
I haven't looked at this so long, but...
Uh-huh. Okay, so there's features here on news flashes and advertising, and there's a a list of, let's see, what have we got
you
here?
You might see something about the Bay of football, of not football, but basketball and baseball games in there, too.
Treading here the glory are, yeah. path. Well, yeah, here's the Bar Harbor Celtics.
Celtics.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Northeast Harbor, Franklin, Millbridge, Northeast Harbor, Bar Harbor, AA. Northeast Harbor. Huh? There you are. There's the scores and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah. There you go. Speaking of sports, well, there's a lot of teams here. That's great. Tell me again the name of the educational director.
Walter Drouin.
Drouin, and yeah. How is that spelled?
D-R-O-H-A-N.
Okay, good. Just so we can get it right when we type it up.
I don't know. There's a library here.
Go. Something about the library. Good.
Yeah. Walter Drouin.
Good.
He came from Massachusetts, but before he came to our camp, he was in a camp up in Vermont somewhere on a big dam project. They had several camps working on a dam, a flood project, I guess it was. And his brother was a writer for the Boston Globe. I don't know what he did after he got out of the CCs. He lived in Winchester, Mass., which is kind of a ritzy town, you know, so must have had a pretty good job somewhere.
Hmm. Let's get on to a section called Camp and Town Connections. And let's see, now you've already talked about some of the recreation and entertainment that you enjoyed in Bar Harbor and Southwest Harbor. Which were, let's see, films, dances, concerts. What did you particularly do? I know you went to boxing matches in Bar Harbor.
Yeah.
Just go over that again. What else did you do when you went into town?
Well, we went to movies.
Yeah.
And if we have money, we'd have a couple of beers, but we didn't have that much money.
Mm-hmm. Was there any particular place you went to have a couple of
beers? Yeah, there was one place there. I can't remember the name, but we always seemed to wind up in there. The movie hall was right across. The movie place is still there. We can run through there once. Yeah, the movie right on the main street, right across the street. I kept looking for that place, but it's all changed, you know. Yeah, we used to go in there at the movie and come out, and we'd maybe have a sandwich or a beer or something, and then the trucks would be up back where the police station is now in the little park there, and they'd take us back to camp.
And do you remember what was the name of the movie station, movie hall? Is it the same name?
Oh dear, I can't remember, but if I remember, it's the same name today.
Really? And the place where you stopped to get a couple of beers or a sandwich, is that still there, did you say?
No, I don't know whether it is or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was across the street from the theater.
Yeah, uh-huh. A good place to meet girls. If they had a dance down there, meet the local girls.
Did you go to dances often in town?
Yeah, I did. But it wasn't down there. It was some other place that we used to go dancing.
Not in Bar Harbor. Maybe in Southwest Harbor?
No, it was in Bar Harbor.
It was in Bar Harbor.
We used to go roller skating, too, out in Trenton. I forget about it. Out in Trenton, there was a roller skating rink there. We'd go out there and go roller skating.
Huh.
The trucks would take us.
Uh-huh.
If you get a group together, they'd take you anywhere you want to go.
How often did you go roller skating?
Oh, not too often. We never had that much money to spend. Even if it was only 25 or 30 cents, you know, and you only got $5 a month.
Sure.
It don't go very far.
So, was that a good place to meet town people then, roller skating?
Not town people, I know, but most of the guys, you could meet a girl there once in a while, go skating with her, dancing. A lot of guys seem to have steady girlfriends there. A lot of them got married. Not a lot of them. Some of them got married. They married local girls.
Mm-hmm. And then did they stay there?
Yeah, I got if somebody dies. Oh, by the way, here's a better picture.
Oh, yes.
You.
Oh, good. Thank you.
That doesn't have the guy in it.
This is a picture of the statue, which is going up in Augusta.
This fella here, we went to his wake last week.
William J. Hersey.
Yeah. This fella here.
Richard Stratton.
He married a girl from Bar Harbor.
Uh-huh.
What was her name?
Oh,
the widow. She's a, he's
his
a,
wife, Florence Parsons Stratton.
Yeah, a lot of Parsons in there.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, one of our foresters, his name was Parsons. Bill Parsons. Gee, boy, I'm telling you.
So CCC guys did date the local women, several of them married local women.
They weren't allowed to have automobiles, you know. But they had automobiles, and they'd hide them down in the woods.
Oh, I've heard that story.
Yeah, they'd hide them down in the woods. Ron O'Neill used to take us from Bar Harbor to Calais, Maine, when we went home for a weekend for $2, down and back.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd probably have, four or five in there. And I remember there was one girl I went to high school. We picked her up in down around Harrington somewhere. And she was working with a cook. We used to pick her up and take her down and pick her up and bring her back and drop her off for work for the next week.
We're approaching the end of this.
You know, mention names here. I ain't going to get in any trouble if I mention people's names, am I?
No. It's all part of the story. Let me turn this tape over. This is the end of side one for the second interview with Mr. Doherty.